1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want to read verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And go ahead, we'll read the next one. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Last week, I spoke on the previous verse, for you see your calling, brethren. And in that, Paul was referring to the calling which was of the brethren, and only of the brethren. Also referring to the fact that all the brethren are called. Now, I remarked at this time that Paul didn't talk about the answer, because the answer is secondary to the calling. And the calling will provide the answer. The preparations of the heart and man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, are two perfect examples of the answer. The call comes from God. The answer comes from God. The preparations and the answer. I like that verse. I do. The will and the doing come from God. The call comes from Christ to his sheep by name, and they answer, they follow him. Now, next we have the answer to the question, why are these people called? Why are the brethren called? It's in the first four words of this verse. But God hath chosen. That's it. God has chosen. That's why the brethren are called. That's why they are called brethren. And that's why they're called. God has chosen. God has chosen his family because God has chosen. Now, in places I have been that I will no longer go, I have heard things that I will no longer listen to. And I'll share them with you, just in case you haven't heard them. I've heard people state that God chose to save everyone. Now it's up to you to choose God. Paul neglected to mention that anywhere in the scriptures, actually, but especially in that first verse. We're talking about verse 26, for you see your calling. Paul left that part out. That's what preachers call biblical election. It's along the lines of what they call biblical predestination. I believe God saw what you'd do and he chose you accordingly. In other words, it's hooey. It's a lie. That's what I call it. A lie. Now, to be honest, I call it a lie because it is a lie. A choice for everyone to have a choice is not really what you call a choice. The actual definition of the word in the Greek means to choose, to pick out from among. That's what it means. God has picked out some people. God has picked out his people. And this choice is made from a group. You're picking out something from out of something. And Walter went into this, and I'm going to do it a little bit, but I mean, for an example, generally your choice of a home is made from other homes. Your choice of a car is made from other cars. You pick one. Hopefully it's one you can afford. A choice is made from out of the same lump. That's what it is. Romans 9:21, Walter talked about it last week. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? God hath chosen. That's it. The potter has the power, the right, and the duty to make that choice. The potter chooses what to make out of the same lump. God chose. And if you really want to look at it nice and close, God hath chosen. Past tense. He's not still choosing. That part's done. That part is complete. That part was done before the foundation of the world. God has chosen to make his power and glory and mercy and wrath known. Who has he chosen to make his mercy, grace, and glory known upon? Romans 9:24 carries it on. Even us whom he hath called. No mention of an answer there either. They've been called. Not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. God calls whom he chose. Whom he chose, when he calls, they answer. Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female, base, foolish, whatever, whoever, God chose. He made his choice of the same lump to honor or to dishonor. This choice was made not according to works. This choice was announced for Jacob before either he or Esau had done any good or evil. Walter talked about that last week. So I'm going to go a little somewhere else. It says the same thing. I want to look at Romans chapter 11 for just a minute. In Romans chapter 11, the choice is of grace. God hath chosen. Verse 5. Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election, the choice of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What then Israel hath not obtained which he seeketh for? No. But the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. Now, this, like I said, this is Romans chapter 11. This is what Paul wrote after he wrote Romans chapter 9. The potter still got power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor, one vessel unto dishonor. The election, the choice, is God's, not men. And the God of all grace has an election of grace. Grace is the totally, totally undeserved choice of God. He chooses to be gracious. Grace, whatever else you want to call it, is not a work. Grace is grace, work is work, and ne'er the twain shall meet, as far as God's concerned. Because now when we have grace worked in us, some work shows up. Because we've been ordained unto them. Good works. But as far as salvation is concerned, grace is grace, and work is works, and they don't meet. Not even a little bit. They never meet as a cause. God's people do work, but that's only because of God's grace. I like that. We do work, but it's because of grace, and that's the order. And God does everything in order. He does everything on purpose. Grace is the cause, work is the result. Believers have been ordained to good works. Ordained unto good works through grace. Here Paul is speaking of election. God's choice of his people had nothing to do with their works. So that kind of throws out that Bible predestination thing, Mason. God saw what you would do, and therefore he decided to save you. Now that sounds a little worky to me. It actually sounds kind of goofy. But people love it. People clamor for it. They'll applaud. They'll say amen to it. I've heard them. I've heard them say amen to God has done all he can do, and now it's up to you. And that's a lie. That's a bald-faced lie. Because you look in this book, whenever God's done anything for somebody, something's happened. Each and every time. And besides, if he leaves it up to me, I'm doomed. I'm doomed from the start. Because I started out dead. And I've never had the power or the ability or the capability to give myself life. And neither has anybody else. And that's where it starts, in me. In him it started before the foundation of the world when he chose. Election is of grace. The ultimate cause, as in cause and result, or cause and effect, the ultimate cause is God. No one else. No one else. Starts with love, election, grace, mercy, which result in work. The believer working. God's work still comes before that. This is the work of God, that you believe the Son that he sent. That's his work. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? This is the work of God. It ain't from you. That you believe on him whom he has sent. That takes the work of God. That takes life from God. It's God that's in you, that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I can't get away from that verse, and I don't want to, but I can't. We can't even take credit for our own good works, Mason.
We can't.
If I've got any good works, they come from Him.
Amen.
Now, I can take credit for all the stupid things I do. I will raise my hand for all the base and foolish things I do. Because I am foolish. I am base. I am weak. I am despised. I am depraved. I'm so depraved that sometimes I try to take credit for things I shouldn't, that I think are good. I have my pride. Pride goes right along with foolishness.
Amen.
Hand in hand. Because some days I realize my works are dung in His sight. Some days. I want to hate the garment spotted by the flesh. And sometimes I do. But I got to watch myself. I have to keep my body under subjection, and I'm not very good at it. I thank God He did not choose us according to our works.
Amen.
Because I'd have been doomed. See that whole thing about the same lump? That's why people don't want to read Romans 9 in other places than this. You see that thing about the whole same lump? If God didn't choose us out of it, there would still be the same lump. That's all that's there. That's us. We'd still be beggars on a dunghill. I don't see why people don't understand that. Well, I do, but it's so ingrained in me, and I know that's the gift of God also, but I God Almighty, can't you people read? No, they can't. Or they won't. Those that can won't. And those that won't can't. I don't know. But that's where we all were. The same lump. If God did not choose to be gracious and save a people which He called by name, there would be none saved. That's where we are at. That's how bad we are. That's what Romans 3 is all about. Which comes before Romans 9 and comes before Romans 11. I wrote some of this down. I looked at Romans chapter 1, speaks of the reprobate. Romans chapter 2 speaks of no respect of persons with or without the law. Romans chapter 3 declares none righteous, no, not one. None seek after God, none understandeth. They're all gone out of the way. Both Jew and Gentile are guilty under the law. Romans 4 declares the righteousness of God imputed without works. He calls those things which be not as though they are. Romans 5 tells of justification before God by faith and being reconciled to God by Christ's death and saved by Christ's life. Romans 6 states that we are to reckon ourselves indeed to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. And it has to be reckoning because sometimes don't feel it. Romans 7 shows us how we were before faith and conversion. And after faith and conversion. I know, that's a good chapter. I know. That's another one people don't have any reading comprehension skills for. Romans chapter 8 reveals the spirit of adoption, which comes after the spirit of fear, spirit of bondage to fear, and predestination of those that love God who are the called according to his purpose. Not the answerers, the called. Romans 9, of course, speaks of the purpose of God according to election standing, not of works, but of him that calleth. It calls all over the place. And the potter, of course, having power over the clay and having mercy on whom God will have mercy and whom he will, he hardens. Romans 10 speaks of whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you'll hear that in every Baptist church in the country. But there's a little more to Romans 10 where it says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God, and I am made manifest. This is the part you don't hear. I am made manifest to them that ask not after me. I am found of them that sought me not. That was me. That was me. I wasn't looking for them. There's none that seeketh after God. And yet it says there's some that seek after God. What happens? Grace. Mercy. Life from God happens. Because God hath chosen. Romans 11, of course, shows the election of grace, not of works. Not of works. And they show it being efficacious. And the elect have obtained it, while the rest were blinded. God's making a choice. We all died in Adam. As I was born and as I lived for 22, 23 years, I was dead. Didn't know Christ, didn't know God, and to be honest, I didn't care at the time. I really didn't. Then something changed. So this is why this whole thing about, and I do like the book, Lorraine Bettner's book, Reformed Doctrine of Predestination. It's a pretty good book. But he's got to throw that thing in there about baptizing babies. Yeah. And I've got that right in there with Catholicism. I'm sorry. Yeah. I love what Henry Mahan said about it. I got it on tape somewhere, if the tape hadn't rotted away. It's an old one. It says, he treats it along that, like that fellow on the road. He says, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? Do you believe? That's that baby. Do you believe? And if the baby says, wah means no. Sorry. Life comes, and there is a change in the child of God because God has chosen to do it that way. The rest were blinded, it says, and their table, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. It's not good. If God hasn't chosen you, it's not good. But God has chosen. Not according to our works, but God has chosen. Not according to our class or our station in life, but God has chosen. Not according to our abilities or our potential. And I'll stop right here for this because that reminds me, when I was typing this up, of literally, and I mean it's literally, just about the most God-awful song I've ever heard. And I've talked about it before here, and I'll do it again. I don't know who wrote it. I'm not sure I really want to know. But it has a stanza in this song that goes like this. He sees what I can be, and so his grace to me imparts. That's a lie. Okay? That's heresy. That's modern Christianity. That's what it is. God has not chosen to impart grace to those who can use it best, no matter what we think of ourselves. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. And I hate that form of pride, because that's what that is. That's pride. And I may be guilty of that form of pride, but I still hate it. Even in me. Especially in me. Because if this book teaches you one thing, it teaches me that I am not worthy. That's it. And I, listening to these people talk, listening to them preach, sometimes I get the feeling they think they're pretty worthy. I'm serious. And that's a killing thing. Take the Lord's table when you're unworthy. And if you're to be unworthy of the Lord's table, you think you're worthy. If you think you're handling out by preaching or anything else, God's grace, that's killing ground. He's killed people for less. But he sent a lot of them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I'm not worthy of his choice. I'm not worthy of his grace. I'm not worthy of his mercy. I'm not worthy of his love. And I'm not worthy of his salvation. None of it. And neither is anyone else. God's people understand that. That's not an insult to us. It's not. It's the truth. It may be humbling. On some days, it may leave a bitter taste in your mouth. It doesn't mind some days. But it's true. It's always true. It'll always be true. It states here plainly that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak to confound the mighty. God has chosen the base and the despised. Why? This is so we might know the love of God. Because we were among the weak, the despised, the base. I wasn't anybody. I'm still not anybody. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, as Earl always said, the mercy seat for our sins. 1 John 4:19 states it this way: we love him because he first loved us. Because he first loved us, he chose us. Before the foundation of the world, out of that same lump, where we'd be sitting if it hadn't been for his choice, he loved us. 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No one will be able to boast to God. Although there's some going to try. I guarantee. Well, Walter's always quoting it. And it's still there. Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Sounds like boasting, Mason. And we cast out devils in your name. Sounds like boasting. We've done all kinds of things in your name. Don't be boasting to God. He'll say, I never knew you. Because if you're boasting to God, you don't know him. You're supposed to be on your knees. I mean, right there, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We did this in your name, God. Aren't you proud of us? Who are you? No one will be able to boast of God of what they've done for him or for themselves. No flesh shall glory in any works, deeds, thoughts, actions, or inactions. God, I never went to a picture show before God. Now, they boast among themselves all they want, and they are wont. I've been in testimonies where people boast about how humble they've been. That takes some doing to boast about being humble. I don't know how you do that. I swear. That's how depraved we are. But no flesh will glory in his sight. Because of the fact that believers know Jesus Christ did it all. All that there was to be done, he has done. All that we need, he is. Or as he put it one time, I am. I like that. I do. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. And Lord, teach us your humility. Keep me humble. Save us from ourselves. And we thank you because you have, and that you call us as though we are, even though we're not. And we'll give you all the praise and honor and the glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who purchased all this for us. In his name we ask. Amen.
Take a break.
Glad you said that.
Tomatoes that are this tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't even found our other patch yet.
of house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got me a little greenhouse from Amazon.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's just small. It's yeah. room enough for me to put plants on both sides and just walk in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's got a door.
That's big enough.
Yeah. Oh, that's all I need. And mm-hmm. and I got some shelves at Walmart that I put up, and I've got a table over here, and I can put shelves on the ends, and it's mm-hmm. plenty. It's like 6x9,
yeah.
6x8, something like that. And it's got a door on both ends, and I can the screen, and I can just open the whole door. And plus, it's got a net that I can put over to keep it from getting too hot. To get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using that now. And I've wondered, it's strange, I haven't raised gardens. And it's strange that you forget that I was putting my, and I raised my squash in there because it won't hardly, I don't know whether animals get it, but I put it in the little hills in the garden and it just won't come up. I've had a terrible time in the past years.
Oh.
And when I had that huge garden, I raised it all in that greenhouse and it grew and it germinated so well. So I did it this time and I got squash. I got too anxious. I got the greenhouse and set it up in the snow, David. David, well, we had snow for so long.
Yeah.
It was warm, but he had to dig out a square to put it in. And it was 3 foot. You know, he had to dig 3 foot of snow out in the 6x9 square. And I got the seeds, and I still waited like four weeks after he put it up to put any seeds in it, and I just had to. But I'm gonna make me a little kitchen garden in front of my house. I have a flower. We fenced it on both sides, and I've got flowers and shrubs and stuff like that. And I'm just gonna put a little salad garden out there. And I'm putting my beans and my peppers. And that's something else that I raised because I can't get non-peppers in there.
Yeah.
And I raised those from seed, and they take forever to germinate. They take this nice hot weather, they love it. You know, they're about this high, they're even good. And that's the best I believe my peppers have ever lived. Not they're just what I'll put on. Because for a couple of years I couldn't find even a poblano seed.
No, I never
found it at Kroger the first time.
Did you?
Never found it again. Even in the seed catalogs, I couldn't find it last year or the year before.
Hmm.
This year, I got a seed catalog that said poblano peppers. And in parentheses, it had ancho. Well, in the other catalog, ancho peppers are considered hot peppers. And mine weren't. And I'm still wondering, you know, what I've got.
Yeah.
Because my poblano peppers were that long and that big around. They were beautiful, every plant. And they were just full. Both years I planted them.
Mm-hmm.
And the second year I planted them from the seed that I got. And if these are right, they don't give me heartburn like green bell peppers, and they freeze bananas. And they're so sweet and their flesh is so thick, I just love them. But it said on there that that's what they can make chilies rellenos out of, and it's not. They're not hot at all. And then I read in one of my seed catalogs, I'm like that, I just read them from reading material. It said that if you plant a hot pepper, how hot it gets depends upon how cold your nights are. That if you've got to have hot nights for it to be a hot pepper.
Yeah.
So I wondered if maybe that's why when I grew them, they were hot.
I bet
it doesn't say real hot, it just says mild.
Yeah.
Hot. But David doesn't even like a mild hot pepper.
Okay.
I do too. I like jalapenos. I love jalapenos.
I like the flavor.
I like the flavor. I have to watch the hot. Yeah. Well, Mom also canned it in a sweet sauce. It wasn't a sausage. And I'm still eating hers. they've gotten kind of smushy, but they're still good.
Yeah.
And it was a sweet syrup. It wasn't a sauce. So
yeah.
It was a sweet syrup that she canned it in. And boy, that took a long time. I have to be careful that it's a tolerated enough.
Yeah.
We're tolerated more.
Mm-hmm.
I sure want to. It gets me heartburn.
Yeah.
Must be in the bathroom quite a bit. But I can't imagine those little Mexican babies sucking that stuff off corn like,
yeah,
like Scott said, that habanero sauce. Oh my God. How do they ever get kids used to eat that? I don't know. I remember that. When we lived in Prosperity, I was 5. He was eating hot peppers. And I loved him until he ate them. Because he was just, oh,
these look good, yeah. Good, yeah.
And finally he did, he put it in my mouth, and I just got it in my lips. And my lips burned, and my tongue burned, and I went around the house bawling. And Mom gave me a piece of bread to put in my mouth, and I had that bread hanging on my mouth, falling. I remember that plain as day.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, I was 5, and I couldn't do that. What am I doing?
Come on, son.
Just want me, I ain't going to show a baby this box. He said he wanted you to get him some of them. He was afraid to tell you.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
That's nice, yeah.
Now I can say anything.
Yeah.